All right, so today we're going to take a deep dive into this this thing called the anchoring effect.
Yeah, the anchoring effect. It's a fascinating one.
It's a psychological bias, basically, where the first piece of information we get, even if it's completely random, it ends up swaying our judgment and decisions like way more than it should. And so we're gonna see how this plays out in our everyday life and why it's so important to be aware of.
Absolutely.
So you ready to kind of see how this all works?
I think a good place to start is with a classic experiment by Tversky and Kahneman.
Okay.
And in this experiment, they asked people to quickly estimate the product of the numbers 1 through 8.
Okay, so like 1 times 2 times 3 all the way to 8.
Exactly.
Seems simple enough.
Yeah, you would think so. But here's the catch.
Okay.
Some people saw that sequence starting with 1,
Okay.
while others saw the exact same numbers, but in reverse, starting with 8. And what they found was that those who saw the sequence starting with 1 consistently guessed a much lower product than those who saw it starting with 8, even though mathematically the answer is the same.
Wow, so the first number they saw that anchor totally threw off their estimations.
Yeah, it's almost like their brains got stuck on that initial number.
Right. It's like it set a baseline, they couldn't deviate from it.
Exactly. And that's the core of the anchoring effect. It really highlights how susceptible we are to this initial piece of information, even when we're dealing with something that seems pretty objective, like a math calculation.
Yeah, you would think with math it'd be pretty straightforward, but I guess our brains don't always work that way.
Definitely not. And what's interesting is this bias. It isn't just confined to these abstract math problems.
Right.
It actually seeps into our daily lives in ways we often don't even realize.
Okay, so give me some real-world examples.
Let's say you're buying a car.
Okay.
And the salesperson very strategically positions a more expensive model
Uh-huh.
right next to the one they really want you to buy.
Okay.
That pricier car, it becomes the anchor,
Right.
and suddenly the target car seems like a steal in comparison.
Ah, so you're not even thinking about the actual price anymore. You're just focused on like the perceived savings.
Exactly.
Classic car dealership tactic.
Oh yeah, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, very sneaky.
Another example is negotiations.
Okay.
Say someone throws out a ridiculously high starting price,
Right.
even if you know it's way off base.
Yeah.
That initial anchor, it kind of sets a reference point, and it makes any subsequent offers seem more reasonable, even if they're still inflated.
So it's all about like framing and manipulating our perception of value.
Exactly.
It's pretty tricky.
It is.
Okay, if this anchoring effect is so pervasive, like how do we avoid falling prey to it?
That's the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah, is there any way to break free from its grip?
Well, there have been studies that have shown that even when people are explicitly told about anchoring, they still struggle to avoid it. Yeah, it's like our brains are almost wired to latch onto that first piece of information.
So even knowing about it doesn't make us immune.
Unfortunately, not.
That's a little unsettling.
It's a powerful bias.
Yeah, so what is it about our brains that makes us so vulnerable to this?
Well, there are a few prominent theories that try to explain this. One is called the anchoring and adjusting theory,
Okay.
and it suggests that we start at the anchor and then we try to adjust our thinking from there. The problem is we often don't adjust enough.
Right.
We remain kind of tethered to that initial piece of information.
Like a ship trying to sail away from the anchor, but its pole keeps dragging us back.
Precisely, a very good analogy.
Yeah.
Another theory focuses on what's called selective accessibility.
Yep.
And this idea is that the anchor primes us to focus on information that supports it.
Okay.
Even if that information is inaccurate or irrelevant,
Interesting.
it's like the anchor creates this filter that distorts our perception of the available information.
So it's not just about consciously adjusting from the anchor. It's about how the anchor subconsciously shapes our entire thought process.
Exactly. It's happening on a deeper level.
That's pretty sneaky.
It is. And then there's a third theory called the attitude change theory.
Okay.
And this one suggests that the anchor doesn't just influence our judgments,
Right.
it actually shifts our underlying attitudes and beliefs to align with it.
Oh, wow. So the anchor's impact can be much deeper and longer lasting than we might realize.
Absolutely. It can be quite profound.
This is starting to feel like a real mind game.
Yeah, it's a bit like that.
The anchor isn't just a temporary influence, it's potentially like reshaping how we see the world.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay, before we go any deeper into this, I think we need to take a step back and look at how this anchoring effect plays out in groups.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Because if it's this powerful on an individual level,
Right.
I can only imagine how much more impactful it can be when you throw group dynamics into the mix.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. When you bring groups into the equation, things get even more interesting.
You can get all these different personalities and opinions bouncing around.
Exactly. And that first voice, that initial opinion, it can set a really powerful anchor for the whole group.
So even if other people have different perspectives, that first statement can still kind of sway the entire discussion.
Oh, absolutely. And it gets even trickier because group dynamics can actually amplify this effect.
How so?
Well, people might hesitate to challenge that initial anchor, you know, right, especially if it comes from someone who's seen as an authority figure.
Or if they just feel pressure to conform to what everyone else is saying.
Exactly. It's like the anchor creates this kind of gravitational pull, making it hard for the group to break free and explore other options.
It's like everyone gets stuck in that initial frame of reference.
Exactly. And this isn't just some theoretical concept. It plays out in very real ways, especially in business settings.
Yeah, give me an example.
Imagine a team that's making a crucial financial decision. And someone kicks things off by throwing out like a wildly optimistic projection.
Right.
That anchor it can influence their entire analysis.
Even if the data suggests a more cautious approach.
Exactly. Even if the numbers don't really back it up.
So you could have a room full of smart people armed with all these sophisticated data analysis tools and still end up making a flawed decision.
It happens all the time.
Wow. That's a bit unsettling.
It is. It really highlights how deeply ingrained these cognitive biases are.
Right.
And how even these sophisticated systems that are designed for objective decision making can still be susceptible to their influence.
Yeah. It's like human error is always a factor, no matter how much technology we throw at the problem.
Exactly. And a good example of this is business intelligence systems.
Yeah.
You know, these platforms are designed to help companies make data-driven decisions.
Right.
But the way data is presented, the initial parameters that are set, all of that can introduce anchoring bias.
Wait, so even with all that data crunching power, human bias can still slip through the cracks?
It definitely can.
How does that even happen?
Well, think about it. Even the most advanced business intelligence system still relies on humans.
Okay.
To set the initial framework, you know, to choose the data points, to analyze, to define the problem they're trying to solve. And all of those initial decisions, they can be influenced by anchoring without anyone even realizing it.
So someone sets a starting point for the analysis, but that starting point is based on an irrelevant anchor.
Right.
And suddenly the entire system is skewed.
Precisely.
Wow. The implications of that could be huge.
They absolutely can be.
Yeah.
Imagine a company using a business intelligence system to evaluate a potential acquisition.
Okay.
If that initial analysis is anchored to an overly optimistic valuation, it could lead them to overpay.
Right.
Potentially jeopardizing the whole deal.
Yeah, that's a big risk.
It is.
Okay, this is starting to feel a bit like a Matrix glitch.
I know what you mean.
Like there's this underlying code, this anchoring bias that's messing with our ability to make clear, objective decisions.
Yeah, it's a powerful force. Yeah.
So if it's this pervasive, how do we even begin to counteract it?
Well, it's a challenge, but it's not an insurmountable one.
Okay, good.
And the first step, as we've talked about, is awareness.
Right. Just understanding that this bias exists.
Exactly. Simply recognizing the anchoring effect and its potential influence is crucial.
Okay, awareness is the foundation.
Yeah.
But what are some practical strategies we can use to actually combat this bias?
That's a great question. And there are some very effective techniques we can use to loosen the anchor's grip,
both in our own lives and in the way we create content for our podcasts.
Absolutely. And that's what we'll dive into next.
Okay. I'm ready to break free from this matrix. Hit me with those strategies. Okay. So we're ready for those strategies to break free.
Yeah. So one powerful technique is to actively seek out multiple perspectives.
Okay.
So don't just settle for that initial piece of information, you know, no matter how convincing it might seem.
Right. Like get a second opinion.
Exactly. Challenge yourself to find alternative viewpoints to gather more data, consider different angles.
It's like getting a second opinion from a doctor.
Exactly. You don't want to base a major decision on a single potentially biased perspective.
Right. Makes sense.
So by exposing yourself to a wider range of information, you can start to loosen the grip of that initial anchor and see the situation more objectively.
Okay. So multiple perspectives, that's key.
It is. And another strategy that's particularly useful in situations like negotiations is what's called counter-anchoring.
Counter-anchoring. Okay. So if someone throws out like a ridiculously high number, don't just accept that as the starting point.
Exactly. Fight back with your own anchor.
Okay, I like it.
So if they start high, you counter with a low number that's more in line with your own valuation.
So it's about establishing your own frame of reference?
Precisely, pulling the conversation back towards a more balanced starting point.
It's like a mental tug of war.
Exactly. You need to exert your own force to counteract the pull of their anger.
Love that analogy.
Now let's shift gears a bit and talk about how we can apply these principles to podcasting.
Right, because we're content creators. We have a responsibility to be mindful of the anchors we're setting for our listeners.
Absolutely, because if we're not careful, we could be unintentionally leading our audience down a particular path.
Yeah, shaping their perceptions without even realizing it.
Exactly, and that's why that opening statement, that intro, it's so crucial.
Right.
It's your chance to set a strong, compelling anchor that draws listeners in and establishes your credibility.
Okay, so the intro is like setting the stage.
Exactly, but it's not just about the intro throughout the episode. You want to be conscious of how you're framing information, how you're presenting different perspectives.
We need to make sure we're not just presenting one side of the story.
Exactly, even if that side aligns with our own beliefs.
Right. It's about fostering critical thinking, giving our listeners the tools they need to form their own informed opinions.
Precisely. And remember, even when we're dealing with data with seemingly objective information, that anchoring bias can still creep in.
So even if we're citing statistics, research findings, any kind of data, we need to be extra vigilant about how that data is presented, the context it's given.
Exactly. Challenge the anchors, dig deeper, and encourage your listeners to do the same.
Okay, so always be questioning. Always be digging deeper.
Exactly. Now, before we wrap up, I want to leave you with this thought.
Okay.
The anchoring effect, it's not just some isolated phenomenon.
Right.
It's actually a symptom of a larger challenge we face in this age of information overload.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We're constantly bombarded with messages, data points, opinions, all vying for our attention.
And it's so easy to get swept away by that first wave to let those initial anchors dictate how we see the world.
Exactly. So the key takeaway here is this. Cultivate a mindset of skepticism, of critical thinking.
Okay.
Don't just accept information at face value. Question your assumptions. Seek out diverse perspectives and always be willing to adjust your anchors.
That's a powerful message to end on. Thanks for guiding us through this deep dive into the anchoring effect. I think we all learned some valuable lessons about how our minds work and how we can navigate this complex world of information with more awareness and intention.
It's been my pleasure. Remember, the power to break free from the anchor lies within each of us.
That wraps up our deep dive for today. Until next time, stay curious, stay critical, and keep those anchors in check.